tonight we want to continue our series. So we're going to do this year for First Wednesday, we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit. Last week we talked about who is he, you know, and so this week we're going to be talking about and kind of answering the question, what is he? What is the Holy Spirit? And before we get going, I just know that we all come from different backgrounds, and I get that. Like, we all have different views and maybe different teachings on the Holy Spirit. There's some of you guys, when it comes to the Holy Spirit, I'm having to push you and coax you, kind of like getting my dog to come down the stairs in the rain to go to the bathroom, right? Like, I've got food out for him, and then eventually I just grab him by the neck and just drag him down the stairs. And then some folks, it's just the opposite, right? There's some of you guys, sometimes we get so way out there on things that we're trying to hold you back, you know, and it's like the time when I was a little kid and we had a huge Rottweiler when we lived in Guatemala, and I was probably 8 or 9 years old, and I was a little guy, and that Rottweiler was way bigger than me. And I remember my parents opened up the gate to the back door that led out into a park, a public park, and I had the leash in my hand. And when that Rottweiler took off, I literally looked like a cartoon. I was flying in the air as that Rottweiler ran after some woman and her baby, and I thought, this is it. He's going to kill that lady, and I'm going to die on the way. You know, like, this is I'm coming to see Jesus on the back of a Rottweiler. And so my goal is not to prefer any one denominational teaching. My goal is to prefer what the Bible says. And so we're going to try that for a change and see how that works out for us when it comes to the Holy Spirit. And so what I want to do tonight is, before we get started, I just want you to watch this quick clip. This is a movie I saw when I was a little kid. And right off the bat, whenever you see what I'm about to show you, some of you are going to remember this movie. And I just want to say, my parents should have monitored me better. Like, they really should have watched what I was watching. But this is kind of how we think when someone says Holy Spirit. For some of us, this is the view we get. I want you just to watch this clip real quick. That was Poltergeist. And I didn't realize this, but Poltergeist is actually rated PG. Can you believe that? Who watched Poltergeist when you were a kid? Yes. All right. Some of y'all are lying. Poltergeist was a scary movie when I was a kid. And I looked that up today, and it said PG. And I thought, there's no way that movie is rated PG. But apparently it is. So maybe Colt and Emma and Gabriel can watch it. But that's kind of the view we get of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we view the Holy Spirit. There's another word for the Holy Spirit, another term called the Holy Ghost. And sometimes we get this view of the Holy Spirit that he's some kind of force or some kind of mystical power that comes in and makes us do stuff that we don't want to do, right? Like some kind of godly hand that makes our mouth move like we're a dummy. And that's not at all what the Holy Spirit's all about. But that's what we get. And even those of us that were raised in churches that taught about the Holy Spirit, we still get this mindset. I remember someone telling me one time in a different church, and they were saying something was said about people dancing in service, like during worship, like as an expression of worship. So I see some of you you know, lifting your hands, that's an expression of worship. Some of you tonight bowing down, expression of worship. Sometimes we dance as an expression of worship. And I remember talking to this guy, and he was on staff at this church, and something was said about dancing. He said, oh, we only dance when the Holy Spirit makes us dance. And I was like, say what now? You know, like, I don't remember that being in the Bible, but the Holy Spirit making you dance. And so this idea, this concept of the Holy Spirit is some kind of mystical ghost that comes into the room and does stuff and then leaves is just not biblical at all. And so I want to look at who or what is the Holy Spirit. And I want to look at John chapter 16, verses 13 through 14. This is Jesus speaking. And he says, talking about the Holy Spirit, he says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. Doesn't sound to me like Jesus thinks the Holy Spirit is an it. Sounds to me like Jesus thinks the Holy Spirit is a person. And so tonight I want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit being a person. And that's important. It's important that he's a person for us. Because a couple of things a person does. A person has a name. Did you know the Holy Spirit has a name? His name is God. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit, the Bible says that there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. God the Father, the Bible says, sits enthroned in heaven. God the Son sits at his right hand. But God the Spirit lives in us and is present in our reality. So it's important to see that he is part of God. He is not some separate entity, not something that is outside the realm of God. He is God. The Bible says that in the beginning, it was the Spirit of God that hovered over the face of the deep. So the Holy Spirit is God. He is part of that. The Holy Spirit is a person because he has a personality. And that's important that he's a person for us tonight, because here's the thing. If he's a person, then we can have a personal relationship with him. We can't have a personal relationship with the force. You can't have a personal relationship with some ghost that moves into your life and then moves out of your life. You have a personal relationship with someone that's there with you all the time. And so we've got to stop viewing the Holy Spirit as some kind of mystic and start viewing the Holy Spirit as a person, someone that we can speak to and someone we can listen to, because those are important to our daily life. People always say, Jesus lives in my heart. But in reality, the Bible says that it's the Spirit of God that dwells inside of you. It's the Spirit of Jesus that dwells inside of you. It is the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of you. It is the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, that convicts us of righteousness and of sin. It's that same Spirit that is wanting to talk to us and deal with us and help us. Jesus said, I'm leaving to go away, but I'm sending the Spirit. Why? To help you live your daily life. It's the Holy Spirit that helps us get through the day, right? So it's important to see that he is a person. Well, how do I know he's a person? It's easy, because he's got a personality, and I know that because a personality has a couple of things. A personality has a mind, a will, emotions, and character. So number one, he has a mind. In John chapter 16, verse 13, it says, we just read this, it says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. Jesus is saying here, if he's the Spirit of truth, and he can hear things, and he can tell things, and he knows things, he must have a mind. He must have a mind that can process what God is doing and what God wants to do in our life. Romans 8:27 in the ESV. I'm just going to read an excerpt of this because we're going to get into the whole context later. But it says, what is the mind of the Spirit? In other words, the Holy Spirit has a mind. The Holy Spirit has a mind that he thinks with, that he speaks with, that he uses to communicate with us. He has a mind. The second thing he has is he has a will. In Acts chapter 16, verse 6, it says, next, Paul and Silas traveled through the area of Phrygia. I don't even know how to say that. That's such a crazy name. They traveled through some place and Galatia because the Holy Spirit had what? Prevented them from preaching the word in the province of Asia at that time. He has a will that he can use. Now, look, I have a will, right? I have a will. There are things that I want to see happen in my home. And so I can use my will and I can prevent certain things from happening, or I can promote certain things to happen in my home to make sure that my will is being done in my home. the things that we set, my wife and I set as boundaries in our home, we have to do those things. And sometimes we have to prevent those things from happening in a very forceful way. You know, like sometimes those kids come in and I have to exert my will on those children and help them to know the right things and wrong things to do. The Bible says, don't spare the rod. And so the Holy Spirit has a will, and I like the fact that the Holy Spirit has a will because he stopped Paul from preaching in certain areas in order to promote him to preach in other areas. There are things in our lives that we keep butting our head up against, saying, God, I want to do this, and I want to do this, and we keep trying, and we keep failing, and we keep trying, and we keep failing. I wonder if sometimes it's the Holy Spirit preventing us because it's not his will. And we keep casting the devil out of the Holy Spirit. You know, devil's stopping me, Pastor. He's not letting me get this job. And I'm thinking, what if God is the one stopping you from getting that job? Have you ever thought about that? You know, in Romans 8, 26 through 28, it says this, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for. How many of y'all know we don't ever really know what God wants us to pray for? Like, we can guess and we can try, but at the end of the day, we don't really know what God wants us to pray for because we've got to have the Holy Spirit. It says, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. The Holy Spirit has a will that it's in harmony with God's will. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is God. And their will works in harmony. So whenever we don't know what to pray and we lean on the Holy Spirit to help us to know what to pray, he prays for us and through us God's exact will for our lives. There have been plenty of times when people have brought to me an issue or I've had something come up in my family or in my life and I just had no idea what to pray about it. There are things, sometimes, have you ever faced a decision where both things seem good, right? And it's like, I can either choose door A or door B, but both doors A and B seem good to me. And you don't know what to pray. There are times people have come up to me and they said, Pastor, I've got this issue in my life. I need you to help me with this issue. And there's times I'm just looking at them thinking, I can't help you with that. Like, I have no idea what to tell you. And so I begin to pray for them, but I have to say, God, I need you to help me to know what to pray. So that's when we allow the Holy Spirit to pray through us and to help us in our prayers. The third thing is this. He has character traits. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23, you all know these probably, but it says, the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. So not only does he have those character traits, but he wants to produce those in our lives. This is important because if he's a person and not just some kind of mystical thing. See, if he's a mystical ghost that just pops in and out of our lives like Casper, right? Then he can only produce things whenever he's there. So he pops in some moments and produces a little bit of love and then pops out. And he pops in some moments and produces a little bit of patience and then pops out. But in reality, if he's a person that's always with us and always in us, then these fruits are always being produced in our lives. I was telling Perry the other day, I said, I don't know what I would do without having you in my life because I'm a much different person now than I was when we first got married. And I know it's not all her. I know it's the Holy Spirit doing some work in my life too, but she calls herself the Holy Spirit, so I guess it's the same thing. But what's happened is the more I'm around her and the more I'm in relationship with her, the more her good character traits begin to rub off on me. And the more I begin to see those same good character traits being produced in my life. I hope the same thing's happening for her. Although she told me when we got married, there was nothing wrong with her. So I don't know. I hope maybe she's probably gleaned all the bad character traits that I have. But I think about this a lot because I think about Colt, my youngest. Not only does he look exactly like me, but most of the time he acts exactly like me. It's super annoying for me. Perry loves it, and she just thinks it's the greatest thing. And so Colt will come in, and he'll be acting a certain way, and she will look at me, and she's like, that is your son. Like, that is exactly how you act. And when my parents come over, and he does stuff, and it's just really dumb, they'll be like, Gabriel, that is you did that same stuff when you were his age. And so it's funny to me, but here's what's happened. Is Colt and I am a person in Colt's life. He didn't get those character traits from just anybody. He got those character traits from me. It was something that was put inside of him from his father. Now listen, the Holy Spirit has to be a person in your life if you're going to produce these fruits. If you're going to have the character of God in your life, then you've got to view him as a person that you can have a relationship with. That's living in you. That's a part of who you are. Because the closer you are to him, here's the thing. If we don't have him as a person, then we don't have a personal relationship. I've said that before. I'll keep saying it throughout the message because that's the most important part of this message. Because the more personal a relationship is with somebody, the more you begin to act like that person. I have people in my life. I've got family members in my life that I haven't seen in years. I act nothing like them. I haven't picked up any of their character traits, right? I have aunts and uncles that I barely even know. Couldn't pick them out of a lineup. That sounds terrible. I'm like a horrible nephew. my family's pretty spread out. I've got people in my life I don't really know that well. I didn't glean anything from them. I've got people that are very close to me that I learn a lot from, that I'm always gleaning from. Why? Because I have a personal relationship. The fourth thing is this, he has emotions. In Ephesians 4:30, it says, and do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit. Sorrow is the same word as grief. It's an emotion. It's sadness. It's an emotional word. In other words, the Holy Spirit has emotions. He's got feelings that we can hurt. Now, we don't ever think about hurting God's feelings because we think God's too big and tough for that. But the fact is, the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, don't bring sorrow, don't grieve, don't hurt the Holy Spirit's feelings by the way you live. If you look at the context of that word, it says this. If you go back up to Ephesians 4:25 and start there, it says, stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. Don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives foothold to the devil. If you're a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good, hard work, and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow or grieve or hurt the Holy Spirit's feelings to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. So what grieves the Holy Spirit? Well, sin grieves the Holy Spirit. Paul just got through saying lying and rage and stealing and abusive language and bitterness and evil behavior. Sin grieves the Holy Spirit. But why does sin grieve the Holy Spirit? If he's just a force, if he's just a ghost, if he's just someone out there that pops in and out of our lives, why would his feelings get hurt? Because that's not what he is. He's a person. And we can have a personal relationship with him. There are people in my life, or not even really in my life, there are people that maybe I know or I've heard from, that they could say something bad about me and it wouldn't bother me in the least. Right? If I don't really know them, if I don't have a relationship with them, it wouldn't bother me in the least. But there are some of you that I have a really good relationship with. And if you said something bad about me, it would hurt me. It would crush me, right? It would hurt my feelings if you said something bad about me. It's because we have that personal relationship. The Bible says, I mean, when it talks about grieving there, that word grieving there is a term. It's a term that has to do with like losing someone, having someone lost, someone die in your family or close to you, and you grieve over that person. And so whenever we grieve the Holy Spirit, the reason we grieve the Holy Spirit with our sin is because we lose intimacy with the Holy Spirit. It disrupts that intimacy. The Holy Spirit is constantly trying to tell us about things that we're doing wrong or things that we're doing right. The Holy Spirit is constantly trying to lead us and guide us. But here's what happens to us is sometimes we begin to stiff arm the Holy Spirit. We push the Holy Spirit away. We tell the Holy Spirit to leave us alone when He's trying to help us. Whenever you're turning on the TV and you're flipping through the channels and all of a sudden something comes on the TV that you know you shouldn't watch and you feel that feeling inside of you that says, don't watch this, that's the Holy Spirit. When you're on the phone and you're talking to that lady and you know all she's going to do is gossip and she starts gossiping and you know you feel that feeling like, don't do this, don't keep talking to her, but you keep talking to her. And the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, trying to get you to stop. Whenever you feel that anger and that rage building up inside of you and you want to just lash out with your words or hit somebody or do something, you feel that feeling inside of you that says not to do that. That's the Holy Spirit trying to hold you back. But here's what we do. Most people stiff arm the Holy Spirit. They say, I don't want to listen to that. I want to do what I want to do. And you're just a force, right? And we push the Holy Spirit back. We don't want to hear Him talking to us whenever it's about doing something wrong. But guess what we do want? When things start going south in our life, what are we doing? God, I need you to speak to me. God, I need you to give me a word. God, I need you to help me. So we can't have it both ways. We can't stiff arm Him when we don't want Him, and we can't accept Him whenever we do want Him. Why? Because we're grieving Him. And then we wonder sometimes why we don't get the word that we want, or we don't hear the Holy Spirit, or I feel like I'm praying to the ceiling. Have you had a relationship with Him, or have you been stiff-arming Him? Have you been pushing Him away from your life? My final thought tonight is this. He wants a relationship with us. Now, we haven't talked at all about anything having to do with baptism in the Holy Spirit. We haven't talked about gifts of the Spirit. We haven't talked about anything having to do with that part of the Holy Spirit. All we're talking about is having a relationship with Him. A one-on-one personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. In the 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, Paul says this. He's ending his thought here, and he says, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The word fellowship there means intimacy. Paul says this. As he's concluding this thought, he says this. He says, guys, here's what I want for you. Here's what I want for you. I want you to find the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ on your life. I want the love of God to be evident in your life. And I want you to have an intimate, personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. When Perry and I first started dating, it was a weird dating relationship. I don't know if everybody else's relationships are like this. I don't even think we were really all that fit, but we used running as a way to date each other without dating each other, if that makes any sense whatsoever. So she would say, I'm going to go running at the stadium or the Coliseum, and I'd say, well, I'll go running with you at the Coliseum. And so we would run around the Coliseum, and that was my way of being close to her and getting to know her. But it wasn't really a date because we were exercising, and you don't exercise on a date, right? And so that's what we would do. And so we were doing that, and then, you know, we would go do stuff like that. Like, it was always around these active things, and we would always bring Jonathan along or Wendy along with us so that, you know, so it wasn't ever a date. It was just us hanging out with her little sister and little brother, which is now super weird. And Jonathan hated it because he doesn't like to run or do anything active. And so he'd just sit in the corner and we'd run. And so I remember though, we had a conversation one time. And for those of you that ever dated, I think you kind of know where I'm going with this. You had the define the relationship conversation. Anybody know what I'm talking about? No, yeah, a couple people. Carissa does. I knew you would, Carissa. Matt's over there going, no, I don't know what you're talking about. Chris is like, I had that conversation 3 times with Matt before he figured it out. So I remember sitting on the front porch of my parents' house, sitting on the steps, and I was talking to Perry, and I think it was actually in April. I don't know why I remember this, but I do. And I can't remember what day we got married, but I know that we had the Define the Relationship talk in April. And so we're sitting there on the front porch, and I remember talking to her, and I was like, so what are we doing? Like, what's happening here? Are we going somewhere with this thing, or are we just running? Because my legs are tired. You know, it's like, I don't know if I can keep this up. What are we doing? And I think tonight what the Holy Spirit wants to do for you is he wants to have that define the relationship moment. And say, what are we doing here? What are we doing? We've been flirting a little bit. You've been talking a little bit. We've been coming on Wednesday nights and hearing a little bit about me. But what are we doing as far as our relationship goes? Am I really going to be a part of your life? Am I really going to live in you? Not just be around you, but am I really going to be a part, an intimate part of your life? I remember whenever I first started having these conversations with the Lord. And I remember for a long part of my life, again, I grew up in a church where talking about the Holy Spirit was just commonplace. It was very normal for us to talk about the things of the Holy Spirit and the things of God. And for us to really focusing more on the outward parts of the Holy Spirit and honestly not really focusing or paying attention to any of the inner parts. And I remember one day it just kind of hit me. It hit me. I thought, I'm treating the Holy Spirit like he's some kind of power that comes on me in a moment and then leaves me alone. And I remember it hit me when I thought, he is God. Like that's the reason there's a Trinity, is because you got three parts. And if he is God, then I can talk to him like he's God. And I remember starting to pray, and when I would pray, I'd begin to pray, Holy Spirit, I need you. And I started thinking, like every time I would pray and I would talk to the Holy Spirit, it was like he would remind me of different things the Bible says about him. And so I would start praying, Holy Spirit, you're the Spirit of truth. And I need truth today. I need truth in my life. I need to speak truth. I need to find truth. I need to stop hiding things. I need your truth. I begin to pray, Holy Spirit, you're the Spirit of wisdom. And today I need wisdom. I need you to speak to me because I don't know how to lead, or I don't know how to be a good husband or a good father. I don't know how to do these things, but Holy Spirit, I need your wisdom right now. And I begin to pray to him. I begin to talk to him as though he were a person. And every time I talked to him and every time I prayed, I would learn more and more about who he is and who he wants to be in my life. Every person you have a relationship with is something to you. There are some people that you're helping and some people that help you. There are people that you mentor and people that mentor you. When it comes to the Holy Spirit, he wants to mentor us. The Bible says he is a guide. He's a comforter. He's an advocate. He's a teacher. The Bible says he's a reminder. He reminds us of things. And I feel like the more we get to know him as a person and stop thinking of him as just something out there floating in and out of our life, the more we get to know him as a person, the more we talk to him, the more we seek him, I think all the other parts and all the other things and all the other teachings, I think all of that other stuff becomes more and more clear as to what it's supposed to do for us and what it's supposed to be in us as we get to know him. Have you ever, last example, I promise, and then I'll shut up and we'll pray. So unfortunately for her, my wife and I, before we started dating, I had dated a couple of girls before I dated Perry. She had never really dated. She had one kind of guy that she liked or whatever, but it was real weird and nothing happened. But I had dated a couple of girls, and for whatever reason, whenever I had broken up with these girls, they all went to Perry to be her friend. And so Perry had this outlook of who I was based on three or so girls that I had dated previously. Now, you know, ladies, when a guy breaks up with you, you don't necessarily have always a positive outlook on that fella, right? Like, it's real easy to find all the negative side of who he is and not the positive side. So I remember when Perry and I first started talking, and she was like a stone wall. Like that song, Brick House, you know, that was like her. Like I could not get in. Like I could not get into her heart at all because she was just like cold. Like, you are not getting in here. And it was because she had had such a bad perception of who I was from listening to all these other people. And whenever she finally decided to give me a shot, when she finally let the devil get a foothold, no, just kidding. When she finally decided to give me a shot in her life, like, she learned more about who I really was and not just who other people thought I was, because they may have seen something that wasn't true, or they may have thought something wasn't true. When she saw who I really was, she said, I can have a relationship with you. And she let me into her heart. And I think what happens to us sometimes is we get this perception about God. And we've heard it from people that have been hurt. We've heard it from people that have had bad experience. We've heard it from people that don't understand. And so we get this perception based on everybody else, but we never take the time to say, God, I want to have a relationship with you. Holy Spirit, I want to have a relationship with you. I may not know what that means. I may not know what that's going to look like tomorrow, but today I want to have a relationship with you. I want to seek you. I want to find you. I don't want to base my relationship on what everybody else thinks. I don't want to base my relationship on what Gabriel thinks. And that's why I'm trying really hard through this series not to give you opinion, but to give you scripture, because I want you to have a relationship with him. I was over there praying before the service, and I just said, God, I want everybody in this room to have a relationship with you that's personal, that's real. It's not based on what I think it should be based on. It doesn't look like the way I think it should look, but it's the way that you move and deal with them. So why don't you stand up with me tonight? We want to pray with you tonight. And Perry and I want to pray. And just like we do any other time, I want to open up the altar to anybody that wants to pray about anything. It doesn't matter what it is. You may have some kind of issue going on in your family, some kind of issue going on in your home, some kind of issue at work. Maybe you got something personal happening. Maybe you need a healing tonight, and I'm believing for healings to happen in our church. That's one of the things I'm praying for, that God would bring miracles and signs and wonders to our church. Maybe that's something. Or maybe you just say, I really want to have that relationship with the Holy Spirit. And I've just held back for so long because of something I've heard or something I've thought. Maybe I've had just some experiences and I've just taken it to the extreme one way or the other. But I really want to have a personal relationship with him. So tonight, whatever the situation, whatever the need, whatever the desire, we want to pray with you. So these guys are going to sing, and as they sing, if you need prayer for anything tonight, I want you to slip out from where you are, come down to the front, and Perry and I want to pray with you. If you don't have anything to pray about tonight, if you want to just hang out and worship for a second before you go get your kids, that's fine too. This will be the dismissal. But tonight, we want to pray for you if you need prayer.